I'm going to share a visitation. I spent some little time with the Lord last night, and before he left, he told me to speak to you off of this text, but by way of the visitation. And it seems as though when I've spoke from it recently, I've hung up because we have so little time for ministering the word. I end up hanging up knowing I had not given all that he wanted me to give. So I hope that we can do better tonight in the short time that we have reserved for us. Thursday and Friday are nights for prayer, not for teaching the word. And so the teaching of the word has not been a priority. Prayer has been a priority, since that's the Lord's heart. And I will do what the Lord wants, whether anyone understands that or not. He has to pull us through certain hindrances, through roadblocks that the enemy wants to set up against the work that we're doing. He has to bring us through these appendages, the way the enemy wants to create appendages on us. And I could go on and on and on. Satan is very, well, Jesus called him the evil genius, and he really is. So it takes determination and focus to push through all that the enemy tries to do to stop us. And if we do, we come out stronger every time. So tonight, I'm going to, in the very, very few minutes that I have, I'm going to try to share with you what he put in my heart last night. John 11:28-30. I've got the King James tonight. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This verse is so critical to the Christian walk. Then he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." When he came to me, I experienced the placing of his yoke upon my shoulders. When the yoke came upon my shoulders, the value of the yoke entered into my soul and through my soul until I was totally owned by the yoke. The Lord Jesus Christ was standing there, and I was literally yoked shoulder to shoulder with him. Now, he's about 6 feet tall, maybe even a little taller. I'm 5'2", so I'll let you figure out how he managed to do that. But he did. And I guess in the spirit you can do anything you want to do. I don't know if I got taller, he got shorter, I don't know. All I know is that we were equally yoked. And as long as that yoke remained upon me, everything that was in Jesus began to flow in me. My sinful nature seemed to have been eradicated. It was an incredible, incredible experience. Ricky and I were going through one of the worst trials she and I have ever gone through. My heart was so broken, it didn't feel fixable. And I believe hers was too. To say that we rode through it in victory, I never felt that. But at the same time, I didn't know what victory would feel like at such a horrible time. All I know is that we shared a terrible, terrible pain. And the Lord came through for us. What we needed of Him, He did give. And He did bring that terrible, terrible trial to an end. It was during that trial that I had this visitation. In fact, I had several visitations through that trial. And it was one of the ways He kept me moving forward, because every visitation taught me something about His nature, His character, and built up my inner man to endure. Watching the pain on my daughter's face was as hard as anything else. It was unbearable because I couldn't fix it for her. But God did. And He did a wonderful, wonderful job. And I know that my daughter came out of that knowing more about the Lord than she had ever known before. So God had, He gave us the gift of Himself during that time. But when He appeared to me and double-yoked me with this revelation, my inner man was filled with His humility, not my own, His love, agape, at the highest point, the highest, I don't know what word to use, but at the highest peak that the earth, people on the earth would ever know. I was filled with His agape. Now we call that in America, you hear it spoken, agape, which I think is much more beautiful than agape. But agape is really the true transliteration of the original. I was filled with His peace. And to walk in His peace, no matter what you see around you, is, you can't mimic that. You can never walk through the kind of peace He avails to us. That is part of the kingdom dynamic. I felt His meekness. I was clothed with His meekness. So my soul, let me just quickly, I may take an extra couple minutes if you don't mind. But let me just tell you, one time the Lord, I won't go through the whole visitation because it would take too long. But I will say that the Lord let me experience His own humility and meekness. And all I can say is that humility and meekness, if you were to tear up the earth and fill the hole with his humility and meekness, you could tear up the earth 6 feet down and fill up the hole with his own humility and meekness, and it would not be deep enough. His humility and meekness goes so deep. He stands and walks before the Father, who is all in all, holy, righteous, and so on. And he and the Father walks in that same meekness, walks in that same we do have people in this subdivision. We do have people in this subdivision. I think they look at their clocks and they say, I think that lady down the street is trying to speak now, so this would be a great time for us to do our drilling and sawing. So we get to do it by the melody of human technology, it seems like, every week. I'm just joking, obviously. But because of his humility and his meekness, his holiness is so sweet. It's so sweet to the soul. It's not crushing or pressing or demanding or even fearful. His humility and meekness is as all-encompassing as his love. And he says, from this position, and it's found in John 16:33, if you'd like to turn to that, that he has overcome the world. Is it by war? No. Is it by lifting up his voice and sounding like a 5-star general? No. Is it in the sense that he has all the answers, knows everything he needs to know, and you better bow the knee to me? He's not autocratic. He did not overcome the world by any means that human beings understand. The central root that enabled him to overcome the world, please listen and write it down, is love. Agape love. Divine love. Mashiach walking in the purest, greatest, most powerful essence in the world, most powerful spirit in the world. Love. He overcomes through the gentleness, the goodness, the righteousness, the holiness, the meekness, the humility, the peace of the divine makeup. He came into the world. The world knew him not. That's what the Bible tells us. He came into the world. We saw him. We did not recognize him. That's what the Bible tells us. But he came and he gave to those who believed the power, the dunamis of grace, the efficacy of his own life to become the children of God. And this word children is technon. That is the Greek word for birth, child by birth. We didn't come and walk along with him shoulder to shoulder and call that the new life. No. We actually died and became born again, technon, as his own child. What a wonderful, wonderful truth that is. If you could meditate on that truth, that one truth, it would change your life. Reality would overtake falsehood. Truth would overtake deception. The power to rule and reign in the nature and character of Christ, overcoming the world in all things, becomes not only possible, but the Lord calls us to it. And if he calls us to it, he really does expect us to arise and find our place in it. Don't be apathetic. Don't be undiscerning, unappreciative, without knowledge or wisdom or revelation. Don't walk that way. Walk in the truth and in the life to which you are called. But he also overcame for others. We see it in Lazarus raising him from the dead. We see it in the son of the widow of Nain's. Remember, she's carrying, I can't think of what they're called. It just keeps coming out wrong. But the men that were carrying the bed upon which he was being taken for whatever was the next step after he died. She actually was the wife of a prophet that had done good for Israel. Now her son is dead, and God used our Lord to raise him from the dead. Jairus's daughter, the transfiguration, all representations of overcoming death. Now that he has overcome the world, which is what he said transpired, we too must overcome the world. And we must overcome it by him in us, breathing into us the power to overcome through agape, divine love. In 1 John 2:10, he tells us to come and learn of him, just as he does here in verses 28 through 30. When I was there and my sinful nature had been temporarily overcome by his nature, and all I felt was who he is, how he thought. He was God. He was God. He was God. And in this experience, he had so overcome the world in me that he had come in to rule and reign in me by his life, by his godhood. He was so beautiful inside and out. He was so beautiful. I have no words to try to help you understand how beautiful he is in righteousness, how beautiful he is in holiness, how beautiful he is in love, how beautiful he is in his humility and in his meekness. He is so incredibly beautiful. There is none like him. Yes, he was Son of Man, but we cannot forget he was also the Son of God. And the wonder of it all is that being the Son of God, he was also the Son of Man. He came to impart the life of God into us. And what a price he paid. In the last days and moments of his life, he wasn't standing as he was being accused and abused, screaming at the people, "I am God, what do you think you're doing?" He didn't do that. He humbled himself beneath the suffering. He didn't raise up the voice of his rights and his own personal will. He submitted his rights. He submitted his will to someone who was less than he. You say, who? I say, Pilate and all the Gentiles that were involved. But also, the high priest and all the Jews that were involved, that represented the whole world. He submitted himself to these people, even being God. Now, it's one thing if you're man and you're submitting to authority, even if they're being abusive, but it's another thing to think that God sent his own Son, he who was all man and all God, and God, Christ Jesus, submitted himself to the horrible abuse he was about to endure. What made him do it? Love. Love. If it were just the holiness of God, the world would have died. But it was not. It was the love of God trying to save the world. Love. His love for you, his love for me, and now our love for him and our love for man. Agape. Not phileo, but agape. Phileo speaks of a love of the brethren, a love of people of like mind. It's a very beautiful love, but it's not agape. Divine love captivated and captured those of the world who were looking to be freed from slavery. Your heart cried. Something inside of you at some moment cried out to be delivered of you knew not what, that you might love Jesus with all of your heart. You cried out, your inner man was crying out, me too, God, don't forget me. And he heard it. The Lord heard it. And he cleared away every hindrance, every objection, every embattlement. He just cleared them away and said, come to me. Come to me, all ye that labor. Now, I've got to say this. Please, it may take a few extra minutes. It will. But I've got to say this. I have looked this scripture up. I meditated on it for probably 2 years, asking the Lord what it meant. I've looked the scripture up. This was probably 30 years ago. I don't know what they're saying today. But even in theological manuscripts and studies, I would look this scripture up, this whole passage, and no one really seemed to know what it meant, what it was talking about. But yet, as I would look them up, I would know in my heart that what they were saying was not true. It was not the issue. So I kept praying that God would show me. And in that visitation, he showed me and he told me, heavy laden with the sinful nature and the love of sinful things, things that many would not even consider sinful, just pleasantries of the world, things of the world that would not be hurtful or sinful to anyone, but we lust after them. This creates a heaviness on our soul and keeps us from ascending to God. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, heavy laden with the lust of the world. The three sins, the three great sins, the lust of the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and covetousness. Those are the main components of the ways and means of the sinful nature inside of us. Come unto me, all ye that labor under this, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And this word for meekness speaks of gentleness, humbleness, strength under control. And lowly in the heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So he's saying, I'm meek, and I am humble. And the word humble means lowly, poor in spirit. This does not mean someone that has wounds and is damaged. So we say poor in spirit. No. This is the strength of the spirit, its own poverty given over to the power of God. Lowly in the heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what he's clarifying here is these things that are entirely of the world. Many good Christians do their own works thinking they are being conducted and upheld by the Spirit of God, when in fact they're not. They're doing the works for God instead of in God. Makes a tremendous difference. And the Lord is saying, I am meek and lowly of heart, and I will give you rest. So he says to me, I will remove the sinful nature and give you liberty to walk with me in freedom. In freedom. Freedom from the bondage and the oppression of the sinful nature that prohibits your ascension into the higher things of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may think you have to give up power, you have to give up faith, you have to give up authority, you have to, you know, bury what you consider to be your Christian works. And what if he just keeps you small? What do you do then? Well, if he does that, but everything you're doing is being born and carried by the Spirit, you're going to go to heaven much richer than to have a large ministry that is being done by your soul. So what about that? But the truth is, if he's called you to do something, being dead that he may live fully in and through you is not going to limit you. It is going to increase your value to the kingdom in ways we cannot imagine at this time in life. So the Lord is saying to you, and I'll close here, the Lord is saying to you, well, I guess I'm going to end up doing it right at 30 minutes, praise God. The Lord is saying to you, come unto him, let him take that nature of sin, eradicate it, and let you live in the freedom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will prosper in everything you do. And with that, let me pray. Father, oh Father, I cannot tell these people what I know. I don't know how to express it. I wish I did. I wish you would help me to put down my own words, terms of expression, anything I might know, to let you speak through me. I just saw a vision. I saw a man totally clothed, clad in white. He stretched his arm, and in his hand was a handgun. But that handgun was more powerful than the most powerful rifle known to man. You might say somehow that technology had been so increased, had gone so far as to be able to create a handgun that could do the job of something many times its size. But it was a heavenly handgun. And in the barrel of the handgun, I saw this light moving back and forth, you know, blinking as it moved inside the barrel. The barrel was made of some kind of substance that looked like glass, but it wasn't glass. And he raised that handgun out straight in front of him, and he shot. And when he shot, the heavens themselves were sent into chaos. It was a new time, a new day, a new season, something. It was the shot heard around the world that the Lord has been speaking to me about for about a year and a half. That shot will never be heard in the temporal realm. But what we will see in here is the effects of that shot coming forth to affect the entire world in its own dynamic, assigned to it from the beginning of time. Watch, wait, look, hear. Listen and be renewed by the truth. In yourself be substantiated by the truth of His glory, the truth of His holiness, the truth of His righteousness. And you will fulfill all that you have been called to do.